Mac, Matt Quinn Direct, Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. One good thing that I think is long overdue, the FBI is investigating Louis DeJoy. Louis DeJoy, remember the postmaster, the evil postmaster, who destroyed 700 mail sorting machines right when they were needed to process absentee ballots. Remember? Not only did he take them out of commission, he destroyed them. And then he was all pious, butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. He said, it's efficiency. It's efficiency. Oh, really? Is it efficiency? Those are expensive machines. They process 30,000 pieces of mail an hour each. And in the biggest Democratic cities, they got removed from service. Now, what's normal when you take out a piece of equipment like that? Anybody out there working for a company has to buy new equipment, get rid of old equipment. You sell it if you can. There are a lot of private mail order operations who would love to have one of those machines. A lot of them. And they'd get a discount, they're used, but the government would get some money. Louis DeJoy took them and put them through metal shredders. He destroyed them. They asked him, well, why didn't you then sell them? Well, it seemed like a lot of things to do and a little easier to destroy them. And, you know, remember the guy, when I looked at him, you can't help how you look within reason, but the character in your eyes is caused by you. And he really reminded me in the James Bond movies, there was a villain named Ernst Stavro Blofeld. I don't know if you remember the guy. He'd sit there petting a kitten and then he'd order somebody murdered, you know, that kind of thing. Ernst Stavro Blofeld. This guy, Louis DeJoy, has never advocated anyone being murdered. But Louis DeJoy reminds me of the character in the eyes of Ernst Stavro Blofeld. And this is what he did. He destroyed 700 mail sorting machines. Why is he being investigated? Why is he still in there? Biden's appointees to the post office board, who control the appointment of the postmaster, have been confirmed. DeJoy says he wants to hang on. Why don't you convene a meeting? You have the majority. Convene a meeting, a special meeting. Fire this guy. He doesn't have a contract. He says, oh, you're discriminating against me because of my politics. Great. Go ahead, Jack. Go to court. We'll crush you. We'll crush you. You're in a high-level policy position. Get out of here. You're no good. Get out of here. Well, here's why they are investigating him. For political fundraising fraud. That's why they're investigating him. In his former business, and this is what is alleged coming out, this has not been established. He's not been charged. Certainly not been convicted. This could be or could not be valid information, but it's coming from sources that say he would encourage his employees to contribute money to Republican candidates, including Trump. If that's all it were, if it was that he was pressuring them, they'd lose their job if they didn't. He would then be in trouble too. But here there is an allegation that he then reimbursed them for the amount that they paid. That is a felony. You can, the idea about fundraising, and frequently unobserved, but the idea about fundraising in politics is the law. If I go up to you and I say, I really think that you should give $100 to this Democratic state representative candidate, and you're a friend of mine, you respect my opinion, you give him $100, not only is that not illegal, that's exactly how it should be done. But if I were then to say to you, and then I'll give you $100 so that you're made whole, so that you're not out of pocket, that's a felony. And why is that a felony? Because on the fundraising form that is filed, the disclosure, it looks like the other guy gave the money when really it was me. It was a concealment of the source of the money. This happens more than you think, especially in companies. Candidate leans on the president of the company, says, I want you to bundle $100,000 for me. And the president can't give $100,000 on his own. You are limited. Yes, under Citizens United, you can give unlimited amounts, but it has to be a truly independent committee. It's a hassle. You have to set it up, hire a lawyer. There can be no coordination with a campaign, and the campaign in this case was the one that asked you to do it. So some people go to their employees, say, I expect each of you, 100 of you, to give $1,000 to this guy. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, or I don't care how much money you have. And then I'll give it back to you. That's a felony. It happens more than you think. Now, what did DeJoy, you know, this guy is not overly subtle. When he was caught tampering with the election by getting rid of mail sorting machines, he's able to lie just looking into the camera. The guy said, no, this isn't the ordinary course of business and blah, blah, blah. Not a sign of guilt in his eyes. Some people fell for it. I didn't fall for it. This time, here's the statement from his people. They just said, Louis DeJoy, quote, Louis DeJoy did not knowingly violate the law. They're not saying that Louis DeJoy didn't violate the law. They're saying that he didn't knowingly violate the law. Let me tell you something. That is not a defense. Ignorance of the law is not a defense. There was a case in Britain in the 1880s where a guy came from somewhere in Asia, and he was dissatisfied with his wife, so he murdered her. And his defense at trial was, where I come from, that is what you do, and you can do it. And the judge over the UK said, well, that may be where you come from, but this is where you are. And the fact that you didn't know that English law said you can't murder your wife, too bad. Now they hang the guy. Okay, they hang them. That's not okay. Luke, I need your input on this subject, Luke.
I'm not disagreeing with you on the historical basis of what you're saying right there, but my one thought that I want to throw out there is DeJoy is taking it strictly out of the playbook of Trump, where the right. Trump sons got off of being charged for campaign finance violations because they were too ignorant of the campaign finance laws in 2016. And so I think they're just taking that same defense and saying, oh, I didn't know about it, because apparently for campaign finance laws, if you plead ignorance, that is sometimes a defense. And so it's pretty wild that that is the case that happened with the Trump. I forget if it was Eric or if it was Don Jr. I don't recall which one, but I do know that one of them claimed ignorance and therefore didn't get charged for campaign finance violations.
Right. And here's the law on that. Let me give you the law, because I know people, defendants, who were actually criminally convicted and actually went to jail for doing this. This business about I didn't know it typically involves, and with the Trump family, there are two things at issue. One is it typically involves lower level amounts. You know, if it's if somebody gives $100 and gets reimbursed by his buddy, and he says, I don't know, they're not going to go after the guy. Okay. It's just as simple as that. On the other hand, if the head of the post office in his prior thing, depending on the amount of money, you know, with the IRS, they have a threshold in which they will prosecute you for concealing income. And it's, you know, if you conceal income, that's a felony. However, you know, some people will say, oh, I forgot that part-time job, and you know, they made $1,100 last year. They're not going to get prosecuted. They're going to get, I'll tell you what, don't do it, because there are going to be fines and penalties. And instead of owing the tax on that, you're going to owe a multiple of the tax on that. So do never do it. But in terms of criminal prosecution, there's a thing called prosecutorial discretion and a threshold. The other thing you bake in with the Trump family is, when you're going after the guy who's the president of the United States and his family, there is a societal cost in doing that. It has to be very, very clear. And so what they let them get away with, I'm not sure that Trump himself ever, certainly personally never said that. It could be that Don Jr. did, or one of the others. But remember, Don Jr. lied, he committed obstruction. He was on the phone with the Ruskies talking about waiving sanctions when Trump got in. And then when he was asked by the FBI, he said they talked about adoptions. Remember that? Adoptions. And they said, we have a tape. We have a tape. He didn't talk about adoptions. You know, since when does the president of the United States elect or the United States son call the Russian ambassador to talk about adoptions? He didn't adopt anybody. Are you kidding me? He didn't adopt anybody. So that's obstruction. If the average person did that, they would have been prosecuted. I think the prosecutors thought to prosecute the president-elect's son on the way in to office on that is just too momentous a thing from a societal cost. Now, none of this is pleasant. This is how sausage is made. You think they were government of laws, not of people. We are. That's true. But there's a level of prosecutorial discretion. And one of the things they take into account is what I've just described, the impact societally on going after the president-elect's son. And the other thing is amount. You know, if you fail to report $50 in income, you're not going to get prosecuted. A couple of thousand, probably not, although you'll get penalties and interest, and it'll be two or three times the tax. You do it with $50,000 or $100,000, it's a felony. And the same here. So ignorance of the law is not an excuse. The guy that killed his wife in Britain in the 1880s, hanged. I don't like the death penalty, but that's the way they did it. And you can't just say it. And for DeJoy's people to say he didn't knowingly do it, what's that all about? Knowingly do what? He didn't know that it was wrong to tell his people, give money to Trump and the rest of the Republicans, and I'll slip it back to you on the side so your name appears on the disclosure statement? He didn't think there's something funny about that? Even if he didn't know technically it was a felony, first of all, that's not an excuse and not a defense. But secondly, where is his sense of morality? That's sneaky. I don't want a sneaky postmaster, especially a postmaster who destroyed 700 mail sorting machines that would have processed 30,000 pieces a hour, including absentee ballots. Okay, going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Yes, I'm gonna get on back. I'm gonna take them all along. I'm gonna take them all along.